Welcome to Mission Peak. We hope you enjoy this podcast. And please come see us on Sunday morning. Thanks for listening.
Alex just, I think, had the line of the day, though. He said a few more pieces and we could have a chess game. So, pretty good. I'm going to take this off before it deflates. Woo, believe me, it's heading that way. So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For those of you visiting with us today, my name is Reverend Jeremy Nickel. I'm the minister here at Mission Peak. And for all of you returning, whether you are costumed or incognito or just your average everyday self, we are so glad to see you here today. Obviously, things are a little different here in Cole Hall today. It's going to be a little spooky. And, you know, I'm glad that we're going to have all the parents sitting near the kids because, you know, parents, it might get a little dodgy in here. You might get a little freaked out. So I want you to have your kids nearby. They can calm you right down. I challenged the band to come up with some real funky, fun Halloween music. And so we're going to be talking about zombies and ghouls and witches and all kinds of fun themes today here in Mission Peak. On a totally different note, I was just really blown away when I went to the immigration workshop yesterday at Walnut Creek, at the UU Congregation in Walnut Creek, and there were 10 Mission Peakers there, which was just awesome. So big hand. It's just really wonderful to see everyone taking advantage of this resource and really engaging with the district, and hopefully we're building some momentum towards sending some people to General Assembly, too. So that was just really a wonderful thing to see. And another thing that's coming up in the life of our congregation that's really important is the Black and White Gala. Does everyone know what the Black and White Gala is? Yeah? So we do this every year. It's one of our biggest fundraisers, and it's a lot of fun. We gather here all Saturday evening. It's next Saturday, and there's little treats, and there's all these awesome auction items that go up and give you chances to get to know your fellow Mission Peak members in completely new ways. And there are actually pre-auction catalogs to whet your appetite that are here today. They've already gone out in the mail, but they're also in the back and being handed out. So if you're looking for your catalog, you might find it in the back. So start to get excited now for next Saturday. It's going to be really great. So to get us off in a spooky, spooky way, I'm going to invite the Peak Rocks to bust some ghosts for us. So at least there'll be no ghosts in this room as we go forward. Take it away.
And we also want each of you who has an instrument there to please feel free to play along. And those of you who don't,
thank you.
that's the girl. I'm afraid no ghost.
Just like every other Sunday in here. You can find today's invocation in your hymn book. It's number 540-540, and it's entitled The Peace of Autumn. Number 540. Today, the peace of autumn pervades the world. Spreading over the deserted fields to all horizons its wings of golden green. The many distant villages bask in the sun with eyes closed in idle and languid slumber. In every speck of dust, in every part of my own body, in the visible and invisible worlds.
In the planets, the sun, the stars, the joyous dance of heaven, the
endless time. And now I welcome you in body or spirit into another joyous dance, so please rise as you're willing or able and join the Peak Rocks in singing today's first piece of congregational music. It might be somewhat familiar to you, but they've rewritten it to fit our place in time. So please join us in Werewolves of Fremont.
Welcome to Howl Along.
Of a big dish of beef chow mein. Thank you.
Mrs. Harry Heather Miles, who ran amok in miles. Lately, she's been spotted in bands. Better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his neighbor. Up at Mission Coffee. His hair was perfect.
Unison chalice lighting can be found right there. And would Catherine Alm please come forward to help us light the chalice? We light this chalice
to remind ourselves to treat all people kindly because they are our brothers and sisters, to take good care of the earth.
Good morning. I'm Deanna Alm, I'm your worship associate this morning. So at this time, probably that we are all jazzed up and excited after our great music, please do take a few minutes to greet those around you and compliment them on their costumes if they're wearing one. Introduce yourself to somebody that you, and if there's someone that you haven't met yet or if you're not sure because they're all costumed up, make sure to introduce yourself.
Well, I know there's a lot of strange-looking folk in here today, but I wonder if there are any people who are new to us or second or third-time visitors that would like to introduce themselves. This would be a time to do that now, if you would. All right. I saw the bishop. Great. As a community, it's also our practice to share the events that mark our lives. We celebrate each other's joys and pause for reflection and to share the burden of each other's concerns. And as I've been reminding us this year semi-frequently, it's not a time to make announcements, right? It's a time to let each other know what you're really bringing on your heart here into this room today so that you can stop thinking about it and be present here with us. That's what we're doing here. So please stand up and start by giving us your name. Well, that was a whole lot of joy in the room today. Wonderful. Chris, I think showing up as Batman to your 50-year high school reunion could be just maybe the coolest thing or weirdest decision you've ever made in your life. So something to consider, but we'll be there with you either way. Marilyn, you have our support. We know you're right for that position without knowing for it. You've brought so much to this congregation, and we're so grateful to have you. So we are in your corner, and we'll be thinking of you. I have no question about that. Mark, what an appropriate announcement to make on Halloween. 66 donations of blood. Brilliant. Raya, we are so glad that you found a way to make the education system work for you, because sometimes that's what we got to do. So we're here to support you in that journey as well. So please let us know how we can going forward. And of course, so glad to see my little ladybug here. That is a costume, I should say, that came from a member of this congregation. Rod, we're glad to hear you feeling better. I'm sure there's some things you might want to forget about. It might have been nice to, you know, be able to be selective about that, but we're glad to have you remembering everything these days. Absolutely. And Bruce, thank you for your support. What he's referring to is I've been spending a bunch of time down in Occupy Oakland with Nicole and trying to figure out what that means for this country and how a faith presence can be a part of that going forward. So glad to be a part of that. And a big welcome to anyone here who wants to join me down there. I'll definitely be down Wednesday at the general strike. And if you want to know more information about that, let me know. So there might have been other things that people held close to their heart that they didn't share today because they just weren't ready to speak it out into this big crazy world with all these costumes. I certainly understand that. If there's something more you need to talk to myself about or one of our amazing pastoral associates, they'll be walking around after the service with buttons on that are quite distinctive. And you can always find me through the week. So please don't forget about that. And now I'm going to turn it over to our worship associate, Deanna, to lead us in a ritual for today. I'll let you say the rest.
All right, so this is something that the kids get to help out with. So if any children who would like to help me out, help me out with this, come on up to the front and kind of stand over on this side, over here by the piano, or on the piano side of the table. All right, anybody else want to come up? Okay. All right, so I have a question for you guys. What vegetable do you think of when you think of Halloween? Pumpkins, that's right, we even got some up here. Okay, well today, a little bit later on in the service, we're going to be talking about another holiday called Samhain, and it's one of the special days that Halloween came from. It's people are celebrating Samhain even before people ever celebrated Halloween, and a lot of the traditions from Samhain were adopted into Halloween. Well, there's a special fruit for Halloween, special fruit for Samhain, and that fruit is apples. It's a favorite fruit for almost everybody. So some of the people that celebrate Samhain believe that the souls of the dead go to a place called Avalon, which means Isle of the Apples. So eating and playing games with apples is supposed to remind us of the people that we love who have died. So what I'm going to have you help me do here is make a decoration for the altar out of dried apple rings. And I can tell you, my kids can tell you the apples taste good because I gave them the ones that weren't in rings yesterday. So I'm going to give you each some rings. Don't eat them. We're going to string these onto a necklace. So let me give you each some of these to hold. Hold some of those. There you go. You can see they've all got a nice hole in the middle, so we can use them to... They're dried apples. So they're apples that have been peeled and cored. Yeah, you can smell them. They smell really good. There you go. Okay. All right. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to string them on this string, kind of like a necklace. And if you want to, if you know somebody who has died, some of us have lost grandparents or friends, you can think of them and maybe say their name as you put it on here. If you don't have anybody in your life who's died, that's fine. You can still string this on here, and all of us can take this time to think about those we've loved who have passed on to wherever they have passed on to. So, okay, great. So why don't you come on forward and you just kind of string these on here just like a bead. There we go. Yeah, in fact, you can go ahead and string on that end. We can do these two ends at a time. So there we go. Yeah, or if you have a pet who's died. Well, that's fine. You could still, this is just a time check. There we go. All right, great. And then you can just go ahead and stand back. Don't go back to your seat yet because I've got something else for you in a minute.
My dog.
Okay, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
How long ago did your dog die?
I don't know. You can ask my mom about that.
Oh, okay.
And my dad, there.
Okay. There we go. All right. Well, that's great. Okay. Catherine, you want to come around? You can come around to this front here. Okay. Oops. Push these all together. There we go. Okay. Margo the dog. Yeah. Grandma Lou. Maddie. Yeah. There we go. Right.
That's a lot of apples.
That is a lot of apples. There we go.
It's like a roller coaster.
A roller coaster of apples. That does look that way. All right. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, see, that actually looks kind of pretty. I'll tie that in a little ring, and we'll put that up on the altar. So thanks for helping with that. excuse me. Okay. So thanks for helping me make this apple memory chain. And now I'm going to give you something that you can use for a later activity. So you're going to take these back to your seat with you. I want everybody to take a pen, thanks, Sally, and three cards. Now on one of these cards, I want you to write a place. So it can be a city, or a country, or a treehouse, Disneyland, someplace that you've been that you really like. And on the second card, I want you to write a job. So it could be a teacher, or a carpenter, or a minister, so some kind of job. And then on the third card, I want you to write the name of an animal. And then, yep, you need all three cards. Because you write one word on each card, one job on one card. So on the first card, write the name of a place. On the second card, write the name of a job. And on the third card, write the name of an animal. And if you want a parent to help you write, you can do that. And then I will put the leftover apples out on the snack table after the service is over, and you can snack on them then.
Okay. Thank you, Deanna. So while they're working on their cards, well, I'm going to invite the band to, and all of us, to sing a very fun song here today together. And that is Flying Purple People Eater. I know it's one of your favorites. Please stand as you are willing and able and join us in singing the second piece of congregational music. Don't forget about those shakers and feel free to clap along. Well, I know it's hard to imagine But for many hundreds of years, this holiday we're about to celebrate tomorrow, or that we're already celebrating here today, it wasn't called Halloween. Right now, we take for granted that October 31st means witches and goblins, costumes, and more candy than anyone should ever, ever eat. Get ready for that, parents. You know it's coming tomorrow. And of course, pumpkin carving and apple bobbing. And to some extent, this date has always been about those exact same activities, but under a different name. Hey, I got a mic. And with a different understanding. And today we're going to talk about the pre-Christian history of Halloween and learn about where this tradition comes from. Now, you already have experienced a little piece of this through the apple ritual that Deanna led us in. The pagan holiday of, and I want to show you, so it's spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain, okay? Although you can find some other pronunciations of it online, too. But this was the word that's existed and been spoken on this date for much, much longer than Halloween. Now, like I said, this is a pagan holiday, and paganism can be inherently hard to talk about because paganism is really a modern way to think and talk about a real wide variety and huge diversity of quasi-spiritual and some religious communities that existed in Europe before Christianity displaced them. But one of the pagan groups we know the most about are the Celts. And as you can see from this map, they used to control a whole lot of Europe. So they had a really big influence on pre-Christian Europe. And it is the Celtic community that we derive Samhain from. And we can find it back in our history, going back at least to the 10th century and probably much further back than that. Now, the first thing that one needs to know if we're going to try and understand the pagan belief system is the wheel of the year. The wheel of the year. The wheel of the year represents the pagan conception of time. And the major difference between the way pagans thought about time and the way most people think about time now is that to pagans, time was circular. Okay? Pagans' time was circular, but to us, we usually talk about time being a linear concept. Doesn't mean everyone in this room thinks that way, but that's the way most people think about time. We talk about things like timelines, right, that represent this idea of time as a straight line from the beginning of history. This is a Western religious history timeline, and we think of it as a straight line that points from the beginning of history past today, and it's kind of pointing out into the future that we're all approaching. And here's another timeline that actually has that arrow on it. This is a timeline of social media. And it shows that arrow just pointing off into the future, like we're going somewhere with all this, right? But a pagan understood time to move in a cycle that was literally repeated every year. So each year wasn't a new year, but yet another trip through that same cycle of seasons. And the wheel of the year, as they understood it, had 8 spokes, spaced at relatively even intervals throughout the year, which were marked by community-wide festivals. Each one of those 8 points was a different community festival. And these 8 festivals were broken into 2 alternating groups, the lesser group and the greater group. And of the four greater celebrations, 2 in particular were considered the most important. And these were the 2 that marked the movement into either darkness or light for the earth. And you can see on here the holiday of Beltane is right here opposite on the wheel of Samhain. And so Beltane is the holiday that celebrates a return to light. And today's, it shouldn't be a big surprise if you looked what's going on outside. This is when we used to change clocks. This is a time when we're descending into darkness. And that's what October 31st really marked, what this holiday meant. And it was the end of the harvest as well. And indeed, any food that had yet to be harvested by October 31st was left in the fields as a sacrifice to gods. If it was still up there on November 1st, you didn't touch it. And because it was the beginning of the descent into darkness, and this might be a little backwards to how you think about things, but because it was the descent into darkness, it was also considered by the Celtics to be the new year, to be the first day of the new year. Because remember, this system was built on cycles, and besides the seasons, the other major cycle that marked people's lives was that of the sunrise and the sunset. And it made sense that the day was started in darkness and born into light because that was the experience of the sun rising out of darkness each morning. So these Celtics postulated that the year's cycle also began in darkness in this time of year and was born into the light, rising out of the final day of October 31st. And finally, the reason this celebration on the evening of October 31st was and is still so important was that this special moment of the year, starting anew, this first darkness, was not part of the year's cycle. This one evening was different. It was special. It literally existed outside of time. Okay? So there was the whole cycle of the seasons, and then there was Samhain. And on this day, since it was a time outside of time, the veil between possibility and impossibility was considered to be at its thinnest. So thin, it was practically non-existent. And what this says is, the impossible is possible tonight. On the night of October 31st, anything was possible. And of course, there were a lot of implications of this. But one that was probably the biggest part of this tradition was that it was the easiest day of the year to talk with one's deceased ancestors. Now, as Deanna said earlier, they believed that when they died, everyone went to the same place, to Avalon. But that if you died before Samhain that year, you waited. You were kind of in a little purgatory state until Samhain, and then you could go to Avalon. So they waited in this purgatory kind of place until this date. And so on this night, a reunion was pretty easy. A reunion with those deceased people, if they had died in the last year, was pretty easy. And so tradition had it that if you had lost a family member in the last year, you should make a lighted path from the grave of the departed to the family's house. And they would set a place at the table for them and expect them to show up for dinner. And often gourds were carved and hollowed out in order to protect the lights on the path. Sound familiar? Eventually, of course, Christianity found its way to Northern Europe with its penchant and skill for digesting and incorporating native celebrations into its own rituals in order to convert new groups to the faith. And the common pattern for this process was that the native ritual would continue on in terms of content. Okay, the native ritual would continue on in terms of content, but the meaning of the content would be changed to fit the Christian teachings. And the movement from Samhain to Halloween is a really perfect example of this phenomenon. Here's what happened. The traditional Christian understanding of death was different from the pagan understanding in that it held that after death, a soul went to either heaven or hell, right? Two choices, that's it. And it was palatable from a Christian perspective to honor the souls that went to heaven, but certainly not those that went to hell. And in Samhain, all spirits, all ancestors, were celebrated no matter how they lived their life. They were fair game to be visited and honored no matter if they were saints or sinners. And so they lacked this whole idea of a two-tiered afterlife system. So the holiday of Samhain, under Christian influence, was rebranded, is what we'd say now, as All Hallows' Eve. To hallow literally means to make holy or sacred. So the meaning was changed from the Samhain tradition of all souls being honored to just the souls that were hallowed, that were sacred. Only the souls that went to heaven. So that's a really big switch. All souls under Samhain, and then when this became a Christian holiday, it was about the saints. Besides the name change and the difference in ancestor worship, very little else changed. The content stayed the same. People continued to view the night as particularly spooky. People continued to carve gourds and put candles in them. And as the holiday continued to grow up within Christianity, sometime around the 16th century, people began carving turnips. You could try that later today. Placing candles inside the turnips and dressing up, or what they called guising, as evil spirits. And they would guise as these evil spirits and go door to door. And in order to protect your house from these evil spirits, what do you think they'd do? They gave them treats, right? So this is where we get this whole idea of trick-or-treating from. is these evil guising spirits who went around and needed to be appeased. This is all starting to sound pretty familiar. So all the same themes were present, but the focus shifted from celebrating all ancestors to celebrating the saints and fearing the sinners. Same content, new meaning. The process was complete. We have Halloween, and of course consumerism came along, another powerful engine for change, and brought us the candy and the bags and all the rest, all the beautiful costumes we see today. But in this ritual switcheroo that these days we'd probably call misappropriation, we lost the original meaning of the day, right? We lost the meaning. We kept the content, but we lost the meaning. It represented that special moment outside of time where the boundary between the possible and the impossible was so thin that they were permeable. So thin that they were permeable. And I just had to wonder, as I was researching all this, what would it mean if we still believed that? If we still had this annual check-in to remind ourselves that there are special times when the impossible becomes possible. And really thought about what we'd want to bring into this year. Now, I hear so often how impossible it is to make the kind of change so many of us think our country, our planet, our whatever desperately needs. And I'm a big believer in the idea that if you ask for your limitations, they will be yours. So this continued reminder of Samhain, that sometimes the universe is ripe for impossibility to break through, is one I think we need to find a way back to. And I have to say, if there were a time in the 35 years that I've been walking this earth that feels like a time of thinness between the impossible and the possible, it's right now. Right now. We are living in some truly remarkable days right now. Entire countries that have spent decades being told that freedom was impossible have stopped believing that narrative and taken sudden and decisive steps in new directions. And here, yeah, that's one that deserves applause, I think. And here in our own democratic experiment of the United States, citizens have stopped believing that making a real change to our country was impossible. These are truly remarkable times we are living in. It's worth noting that. And so what I want to do is invite each and every one of you tomorrow evening, when the last sliver of light has set on this Celtic year and the darkness from which a new year can be fully born descends on you, and you are in that special time outside of time, I invite you to allow your impossible to cross over into this world of the possible. Stop believing in whatever limitations you have for too long saddled yourself with, and take a look at the year ahead, and just for one night, imagine accomplishing the impossible. Because why bother with anything else? Ashe, may it be so. With that said, I would like to invite the Peak Rocks to sing a song about zombies eating our brains.
And you guys play the part of the zombies.
We are the zombies. Do you want us to rise for this one? Do you want us to rise or sit
here?
Yeah, let's stand up.
I'll tell you what the sing-along part is.
There's a special sing-along part.
Okay? Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. Good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming. Okay, now here's your part. This line, the first line, third line of the chorus goes like this. All we wanna do is eat your brains. Okay, sing it. All we wanna do is eat your brains. One more time. All we wanna do is eat your brains.
too good, okay? You guys are supposed to be a bunch of mindless zombies, all right? Your time under the ground has not been kind to your vocal cords, okay? So this time, a little more zombie-like, all right?
All we want to do is eat your brain.
Very good. One more time, then we go ahead.
All we want to do is eat your brain. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's going to eat your eyes. All we want to do is eat your brain.
Nice.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of food and guns, and then you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly. All we want to do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we want to do is eat your brains. We'll get to common ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who are chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I
all roused up and maybe slightly fearful. If I can have all the kids come back forward and come bring your cards that you filled out. And we're going to do our second. Take the pens. Great. All right. So first, give me your cards that have the places on them. Place. Place. Oh, just, that's fine. Just one with a place, one with a place. Got your place? Okay, great. And now, oh, place, there we go. And now I need a job. Job. Okay, I need a job. Okay. An animal in the white basket. You need a job real quick? Okay, did you give me a place already? Oh. Okay, we'll work it out. I'll make one up for you. Okay, and then animal goes in the white one here. Okay.
Wait, which one? Oops.
This is animal. This is job right here. I'm going to make this one into a job.
Animal.
Okay.
This is a place.
Place, job, and animals over here.
I love
them. Okay. Yep, there we go. Okay, so place, right here, job here, animal. Okay, we got everybody's cards? All right, so let me have you move just back to the side here just a little bit. So, now the reason why we're doing this is because we heard Jeremy talk about, right, thank you. Job. Oops, I'm not sure what this is. Okay. We talked about Samhain as being a time out of time when all things were possible. And so one thing that a lot of folks did on Samhain is they thought it was a great time to do divination, which means trying to tell the future. And so that's what we're going to do with these cards here. We're going to predict the future of some of you. Don't have time to predict everybody's future. But let's see what we can find out here. Who's going to come forward first and have their fortune told? Okay, Marcus, come on forward. All right, so Marcus, when you grow up, you are going to be a, let's see, you are going to be a minister who lives in space and has a pet giraffe. There you go. Okay. Tell me your name again. Keela. All right, Keela. Let's see. Keela, you are going to grow up and be a librarian who lives in a pizzeria and has a pet koala bear. Okay. Tell me your name. Tell me your name.
Jessica.
Jessica. All right, Jessica. Let's see. Jessica, you're going to be a test subject who lives in the Russian Federation and has a pet wildebeest. There you go. Okay, let's see. I'm going to take two more. So, Calvin. All right, Calvin, let's see. You are going to be a computer technician who lives at Great America and has a pet moose. There you go. I'm going to take the last one, the white shirt here. Oh, sorry, the last one. All right, tell me your name.
Aiden.
Okay, Aiden. Well, let's see what we got here. Hopefully the last one will be a good one here. Okay. You're going to be a kindergarten teacher who lives in Carmel. Ooh, nice place. And has a pet tiger. There you go. All right. So, nope, I got to finish up here because what we're going to do next is, and maybe we can do some more after the service. Yeah. Okay. So, what we're going to do now is during the offering music, anybody who would like to parade around so everybody can see your costume, we'll do that. So follow me to the back, and then during the offering music, you'll follow me around so folks can see your costume. So anybody who wants to do that, follow me around to the back.
This is a costume parade for all ages.
Yes.
For all ages. So I very much would welcome anyone wearing a costume to join in the back for this parade. The offering is a ritual
of the free
church. So
make a line back here. And
it's supported by the generosity of all who join with us.
Sweetie, I didn't have time for everybody.
And is done in remembrance of all whose steadfast faith in the face of fear paved the way for us to gather with people who share our values. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and visions for a liberal religious community. And I turn it over to you for the offering song.
Any fans of scary movies out there? One or two? Oh, yeah, okay. This is your part. Horror, I've got to see more. I won't be contented all night.
You may call it my ghoulish obsession. It's a subject on which I get chatty. But the worst one, it seems, haunting all of my dreams, was the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. I've seen ghouls and hobgoblins and witches, and some mocking werewolves with fangs. There were creatures that chattered and others that clattered, and Japanese monsters with fangs. Frankenstein gives me the shakes. Uncle Dracula's driving me batty. But they're not on a par with the worst one by far, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Feel free to sway. Oh, he must have needed a seltzer. It's amazing how much he got down. For lunch, he'd just chew up a summer or two, and for dinner, he ate the whole town. Willard just set me out laughing. I thought Ben looked a little bit ratty. Sorry about that. But they're not half as bad as the worst scare I've had, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Oh, my heart nearly stopped. He will never be topped. The cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Olay!
For all that has been given in this weird and spooky time to do the work of this community, we give abundant thanks. Now, please rise in body or spirit and join myself and, more importantly, the Peak Rocks in singing today's final song, Bad Moon Rising. Please join hands as you are able. What we can or cannot do, what we consider possible or impossible, is rarely a function of our true capability. It is more likely a function of our beliefs about who we are. May it be so. Go in peace.